Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do always lift you above all else. We ask, Father, that you give each of us direction in our life through your word. Help us, Father, now as we study how we, as this generation of Christians, came about receiving your word. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will give each of us the boldness to search through your truth, but Father, to take that truth to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Tonight, how we got the Bible, or we call the scriptures. Now, to go through this, I'm going to read what you all have there for those who are listening and for the taping of the broadcast. The Holy Bible was written by men, divinely inspired. It was written by men, divinely inspired, and is the record of God's revelation of himself to man. Now, in order for you and I to be able to allow the Bible to be a part of who we are, a part of our life, to take God's holy word and that word becomes living within us, we need to understand that the Bible, the books that we read of the Bible, are the record of God's revelation of himself to us. God reveals who he is in every verse of the scripture. You will see through the Old Testament, you'll see the judgment of God passed on time and time again. You'll see the mercy of God. You'll see the grace of God. You'll see the anger of God. Man, let me tell you something, Christian. You do not want to be around any situation when God is angry. Now, I know I'm a Christian, and you being a Christian, that we realize that his anger will not be directed at us. But when God lowers the gavel with his judgment anger part of those who go against him and the whole corrupt, even the section of religion that is corrupt, when God is, and you're seeing God's anger expressed, I don't want to be around it because even the fallout from it is dangerous. And I'm talking about the power. God is a loving God, but God is a just God. And by being a just God, he says that then all unrighteousness he will turn away from. So he sends Jesus. It's the reason he sent Jesus, so that whoever believes in him, that we then become a part of the family of God, and this judgment can never be upon us. God will not judge the blood of his son, which was pure. Now, it's the people who even profess or say that they are Christians. Here's your key. When you're talking to someone and you're wondering, you know, do I need to witness here? Do I need to share here? Do I need to, what do I need to do with this individual? Ask a question. And are you a Christian? Watch the answer or listen to the answer. And when I say watch the answer, that's what people like me do. When somebody speaks, I watch their demeanor. I see their eyes. I watch how they're coming across with that answer. But I found it quite interesting that you will, as I've shared with you, especially with those of our different denominations, of all the Christendom, there are so many different denominations. If a person says, you walk up and say, are you a Christian? And they say, I'm a Baptist. They did not answer your question, folks. They did not answer your question. Well, are you a Christian? I told you I was a Baptist. Go over yonder to the Baptist church. Been going there ever since I can remember. Matter of fact, you know, I'd probably there the day right after I was born. And, you know, you listen to those. Then you always give three shots. Always reword the question or do it, but give them three times. Upon the third time, it's what we call a strikeout. It's what you tell the cops. But you got to remember that when you go in and you ask them, if they evade the question And that is an evasion of the question. I didn't ask you what denomination you were in. I said, are you a Christian? Well, you don't want to push it to begin with in this situation. What you do is you find out very fast, they may be religious, but may not know Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. Is not that the danger that we see in our own day of people becoming religious without Christ? A lot of religions going on. A lot of people, I know a lot of people get drunk every weekend religiously. That's a religion. And think of it that way. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And it is the record of God's revelation of himself to man. Okay. It has God as its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. Okay. That's God's word. Are there misprints in the Bible? Yes. Man. Whatever is misprinted, man did it. Did we have, as you all know, they answered this already. When we look back at the original manuscripts, are they copied right? We don't have the original manuscripts, so I couldn't tell you that. But as we go through this and study this, you're going to find out how you know whether or not it is the Word of God, okay? The Bible is the true center of Christian union. Now, if we come in as Christian brothers, Christian sisters, and one pulls out their Bible, and the other says, no, you know, I found this good book about Christianity, and I have it right here. Let me read you some good poetry about Christianity. Now, all of a sudden, the one with the Word of God is thinking, I don't think I want to be here, and I don't want to get in an argument. But that's a way of you telling on as far as the relationship. Either we are in union with the Holy Word of God, or we are not a church. It's the Bible that keeps us united. It is the Bible that teaches us to put up with each other, right? It is the Word of God that gives us the truth. And if you pulled in any other book, I don't care whether it's Robert's Rules of Order or any other book outside of the Holy Bible, you're going to have trouble in the church, right? Okay. The foundation by which the Bible is to be interpreted is Jesus Christ. Every time or any time someone wants to quote Scripture to you and they leave Christ and the mercy of Christ and the grace of Christ and the story of Christianity, the story of the gospel, when they leave that out, again, that's time for you to share it gently. Because they may not know it. You don't want to really go after someone and say, well, it's obvious to me you're not a Christian. Because your preacher might hear you and say, well, it's obvious to me you're not acting like one. So you and I are to read the person. You and I are to listen to what's coming out. What's coming out of their mouth, does it come from the heart or come from the head? A lot of smart people. A lot of smart people can quote a lot of scriptures. A lot of smart people who quote a lot of scriptures don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But always be merciful as we are sharing and not and never be condescending. Never speak as though, well, I have it, you don't have it, so let me try to bring you in to it. You will see that sometime. The word Bible is a transliteration. Okay, a transliteration, anytime you hear that word, transliterate, is this is the best way I can explain it to you. Transliterate is to take the alphabet of one language and change it to the alphabet of another. It's to change, it's not changing what is said, it's to put it in another language. So we do know that the Bible is a transliteration. Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew is mainly what we have in the Bible. And so now we have it in English. That's a transliteration. It's transliterated of the Greek root word, biblios or biblia, meaning the books. The Bible means the books. Many ancient writings were on rolls of papyrus. Remember that in some class we should have had around here. From which comes the word paper, the papyrus plant. They stripped it down and, you know, and then they squished it all together. And that was a problem simply because it didn't last long. And so, you know, they went from that to skin, I think, was the next. The leather of any kind of animal and all of this. And then they went from the skin to computer. No, I'm joking for those of you who are listening. It was not that way. Okay. What they found was that in papyrus, it would fade out and they would lose a lot. So that's why they were making copies as fast as they could make the copies. Okay. It is impossible to fix with exact precision the circumstances, but it is possible to know for a fact that the Bible is the Holy Word of God. Our Bible is a collection of extraordinary books. Now, look at your stats here. Written over a period of 1,600 years. The first person mentioned in the Bible as writing anything, I should have left that blank, see who could have got that, is Moses, who lived about 1,500 B.C. The Bible is composed of 66 books. Now, what you will find as you go through this study, what people think, or even the way you grew up thinking, and many still do today, and some that are strict on a certain translation still do it. God did not pin the Bible in heaven, drop it with a parachute, and it land on the First Baptist Church of wherever. And it was the King James. No, that's not the way that we got the Bible. What we're going to study is, how did we get it? And it is amazing to me. For me to ask you all, who wrote the Bible over this many times, many years, 1,600 years? Or the kings? Did the kings write it? The princes write it? Any on the penmen?
Monks.
You're trying to pull Darwin into this, aren't you? Okay. We need to know this at the beginning, because I do have it in here somewhere for you. Anyway. How many authors or penmen are there of Scripture? We don't know. But I can tell you this. That from the looks of the situations, all of what we do know, that there's about every type of personality, poverty stricken to kings, and all in between, that wrote or penned the Bible. The Bible is from God. The penmanship are from all of these different people, and we really don't know how many. And the only thing that you and I do, we know the ones that we study a lot, you know, who, like in the book of Acts this morning, when I was telling, you know, I said, well, it's Dr. Luke had written that. Well, you do remember that's in Luke's gospel. Luke was a doctor, and he stayed with Paul, and he did a lot of the writing. And all that's why you had how many people were on board, because if somebody like me or Randy was writing it, we'd say, there's a whole bunch of people here, and there's a big storm. But the doctor, Luke, you know, he says there are 276 people on board. And I would have said, give or take a few. I don't know who jumped over. So you know that God is in control of it. So fix in your mind to begin with. God has used every kind of personality. Folks, you have to catch this part. We have to understand the part of how God is giving us his word. God is giving us his word for us to understand that every type of personality from every background, that's why you got Rahab the harlot in Jesus' gene pool. Yeah, and you've got, so you've got all of these personalities, God's using them. And when we really understand that, then you and I know, well, if God could use them, he can use me. And so from the beginning, he wanted all of us to understand that He, who he is not the personality or the God of all gods that you and I can put in a box somewhere. You and I have our own little idea of this is who God is, and this is how we got the Bible. This is the Word of God, and the Bible was written by all upstanding people. No, the greatest men of God were rotten to the core. I mean, they did everything. Folks, you and I would not get along, right? I guarantee you, if the Apostle Paul was locked in a room with Randy and I, we'd both have him tied up, put in a corner somewhere, and gagged. Because you and I would not get along. God used the different personalities in order to bring his truth. Because he's going to have all type of multiplicity of personalities that's going to exist. And he wants his word to be able to touch the heart of everyone. That's why it takes so many different types of personality to form the church, the body of Christ. That's why. And he said, let me do the picking, Larry. You quit doing the picking. If the pastors would quit doing the picking of who could become, would come to church and let God send them, then you'll have a church body that represents Christ and a body of believers that all they want to do. Nobody wants to be the boss. Nobody wants to be in charge. Everybody just wants to minister. That's the way it's supposed to be, folks. Did somebody point me in the right direction and let me minister for God? Okay. Moses lived about 1500 B.C. The Bible is composed of 66 books. 39 Old Testament books. I know you knew that. I got into the other day trying to remember the books of the Bible. I couldn't do it. And I'm your pastor. If you don't stay on that all the time and keep studying, do you know your brain sort of... Have you ever noticed, Estelle, that our brains just don't think right sometimes? Do you? it just goes and comes. It does. Yes, honey, it does. The 39 Old Testament books were written largely in Hebrew, but with some Aramaic. 27 New Testament books, which were written in Greek, the common language of the day. The language of Jesus was Aramaic. Why? Well, for one thing, you know, because we say, well, why not Greek? And let me tell you, the answer to that was not that Jesus didn't know how to speak Greek. Oh. It was that those in the area where he was spoke Aramaic. So he used a language that was going to be to the group he is speaking. He used the language of the common folk. He had derelicts. He had the dialects. Thank you. I was looking at my jail ministry stuff up there. I can get all mixed up sometime. Once again, we see the hand of God at work. The New Testament was written in Greek because the Greek language was spoken throughout the world, not the Aramaic language. I thought you all would enjoy learning that. Both Old and New Testament are the Word of God. The Bible is a God-inspired book. Now, where the people or the enemies of the Scripture are today are individuals who say, well, it's just written by men, and the men decided what they're going to write. Now, there's where those with ears let them hear. There's where you get back to when the Lord is speaking. He said, you got to listen to me spiritually. You can fall into all of those or actually trip over those rocks in the way of life by saying, you know, they're right. How in the world, what would keep these men from putting something in there that they won't? Until you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a spiritual bond, and in that spiritual bond, it's just not that you know, I think that's right. You know it's right. You know it is right. Because when you read the Bible as a Christian, the Lord of the Bible, of the Word, is reading to you. It's not as bad as I was, as I reminded you all about when I was watching the Passion of the Christ in Aramaic. And I told Faye, you know, Faye, it's just like I understand what they're saying. And she said, it's caption, dummy. That's what it was. I knew it was something, but he was speaking Aramaic, and I knew exactly what he was saying. But it's the idea of us understanding that if it's God-inspired, then are not you and I inspired? When we said yes to Jesus Christ, we were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we were under conviction by the Holy Spirit. And under that conviction and inspiration of God, God calls us, we accept the call, we become a Christian. Now, you and I as Christians know that God didn't quit talking to us after we got saved. To get saved is the first step of salvation. Let me say it again. To be saved is the first step of salvation. Salvation is a continual process. When I said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I was saved, going to heaven right then. Got it? But continually throughout my whole life, I'm being saved. I'm being brought back from, saved from myself, saved from the world, saved time and time again. The salvation of eternity, or our eternal life with Christ, is when we accept Jesus. But Jesus doesn't quit saving us. He puts us on a right path. He puts us on a path that he knows, and he directs us, and he teaches us. Now, how do we know that? You know who Jesus is because he's in your heart. Now, a person that doesn't know Jesus will call that foolishness. God said, I have chosen, this is God says, God said, I have chosen the foolishness of preaching. Now you think about that. The foolishness, the preaching to the world is foolishness. But to the lost person who accepts that word is eternal life with Jesus Christ. God said, I chose the method by which people would be saved. It is the preaching. So you mean only the preachers then can do it? Every Christian preaches all the time, male and female, whether the Baptists like it or not. I mean, if it weren't for the mothers rocking the cradle and preaching to the kids and these hard-headed men out running wild, think of it. God says, I'll prove to you that my word is real. I catch it now. He proved to me his word is real because my spirit and the spirit of Scripture agree. If I don't agree with the spirit of Scripture, I'm the one that's wrong. So he says, did he not say, I'll reveal myself to you? Yep. Okay. Look at three techniques used by God to reveal his word to mankind. And this is what we'll go over tonight. The first is revelation. God reveals himself and his will to human messengers. Those are the penmen by revelation. John the Revelator. John the Beloved, who is in prison at Patmos. He was revealing. Again, be careful with that, because I still hear folks saying the revelation of John. It is not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ by John the Beloved. Okay. The first was revelation. God reveals himself and his will to human messengers. Next is illumination, where the Holy Spirit enlightens our mind with spiritual understanding so we will know the truth. Isn't it wonderful for us as Christians that let's say you've been trying to figure out a situation that's going on, you've been trying to catch on to this, and then at the moment when you least expected it, all of a sudden it's revealed to you spiritually. And no longer then is it You all know that with me 4 to 5 years ago when I received the revelation from God of the no fear of death. And that was a revelation from me that got me so excited. But in my excitement and in your excitement for serving the Lord, sometimes Satan will misdirect us, meaning that I've got to be careful that I don't get so excited about leaving, or you get so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, that kind. It's the idea of, I do know it, but maybe I shouldn't act so excited about it. But when I get to preaching, I can't help it. I just still see myself sticking through that door and knowing that Randy's crying. Okay. The third one is inspiration. Actually means God breathed. I don't think breathe's a word, but that's what the scripture is. It means God breathing into the messenger. To be inspired is God breathed word. God is God's breath within our spirit, and we know it. Revelation, let's look at it first. Because God loves us, he reveals himself to us through nature. Psalm 19:1, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. You cannot look around you into nature itself and not see God. Romans 1:19-20, they know the truth. Now listen to this. He's talking about people that haven't heard the gospel preached or taught. You ready for this? They know the truth about God, because he was talking about the Gentiles, because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. So, they have no excuse for not knowing God. Now, you think of that. Remember when you got your mic on? Speak, boy.
One thing that's newly evident as far as finding God in nature, Chernobyl, where they had the nuclear meltdown, scientists have recently found a brand new species of fungus never before seen that feeds solely on radiation. I mean, I just thought that was amazing.
Well, you get that on your feet, you're in a mess, aren't you?
I just thought it was amazing to see where God is creating life where everybody has just considered it death.
There will always be new findings of where man doesn't understand. Hunter and I were watching, we like the History Channel, and was watching where these guys were divers, and they talked about the mermaid stuff, and they'd got this one that they had found, and they had the video running, as you know, at the bottom, and then on the backside of the video, there comes one looks similar to a man, but now. Peter said, leave it alone, because they didn't want to oil or whatever they was doing there. But you know, when I look at that, and Hunter said, Papa, can that be true? I said, Hunter, there is so much in the ocean that we don't know. There's another world down there. 2/3 of this world are water. There's another world certainly at the ocean core, and we don't know, so there will continue to be new findings. Now, I'm a little bit leery of the squirrel on Mars. Although, did y'all see it? It's on the news.
It's a rat. It's a rat.
I'm sorry, Randy says it's a rat. It looked like a squirrel to me. And they had, I knew it wasn't a chipmunk like a guy said. But they've got the picture there as they're showing the rocks, and then they zeroed in on the rocks, and they said some group that had decided that was a rat. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
It looked like a squirrel to me. Jack, you would think it looked like a squirrel. I thought it looked like a squirrel. And I was looking at it, and people said, well, that's foolish. Well, it might be foolish, but if that's not a doctor picture, it'd look like a squirrel to me. Randy's rat looked like a squirrel down there. It was, but, you know, is it not, I imagine more foolishness to that than anything else. But people seem to think that man knows. You know, well, the scientists said that it's impossible. Yeah, well, a lot of them said God's impossible. But I never get into that stuff, but I thought it funny laughing. And even with Hunter, to tell him, I said, you know, Hunter, we don't know what all's down there. But I don't know, he might have been looking for the mermaid part. Because God loves us, he reveals himself to us through human conscience. Our mind, our conscience. Is our conscience in our mind or a part of the spirit? Yeah, that's the way I would gather it. Yeah, that it was because my mind wants to do something that's bad and my conscience is jumping in there. It couldn't have any part of the mind because, yeah, so I would say that too. Romans 2:14-15. Even Gentiles, that's us, who do not have God's written law, they show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience has and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. Oh, that's a statement, wasn't it? Right there in the Bible. Well, I think from the beginning where, you know, that would be like people saying, well, how could people have been saved in those dark ages without the Bible? The Holy Spirit of God is not weakened. And he gets his word across to us. I mean, we know the difference between right and wrong. And it's sad when we as a denomination, especially as a any denomination, it really bothers your pastor when I hear a denomination say, it's got to be the Baptists winning the world for Christ. It's got, folks, only Christians can win the world to Christ. It has nothing to do with the denomination. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine this week. And he saw me out in the yard and stopped to talk at Mom's. And he was just so upset. Well, he said, Larry, all they want is money. We just send them money and send them money. And he said, we got enough people right around our church that we need to be helping, and we are helping. And he said, but they want the money. And they is always a group of individuals, and I believe well-meaning sometimes. And they see the bottom falling out. Did I give you all the stats on the churches, churches that are new churches established per year now? The Baptist churches are 4,000. 7,000 closing. 4,000 new plants, 7,000 shutting down. And they're all over the place. Why? When you start bringing in the world, then does not the world take over? If you let a little bit of the world get in the church, does not the church then become a part of the world? And where the church becomes the world and doing it the world's way, your pastor's been catching heat from folks over the Boy Scout issue, because the Boy Scouts will let gays be in the Boy Scouts now. And it'll be, by next year, it'll be, they'll be leaders and everything else, just like it did with the Girl Scouts. You cannot support that, folks. I cannot, as a man of God, as a pastor, as a preacher, as an evangelist, whatever I am, I cannot be a part of supporting an organization that's indoctrinating kids that saying that that's an alternative lifestyle. Well, hell's an alternative place to live too. But you have to take a stand, and when you do so, you will be chastised by man. But I want to do it in the right way, and I don't know what the right way is. You know what I mean? If when you're dealing with folks, you don't want to hurt feelings, you don't want to cause problems. God says, I've revealed myself to them. Through my revelation, they know. So realizing that they know that God's word is the source, and then for us to go against God's word, is that not blasphemy? It's not hatred, folks. I love, but I love the lost. But I'll tell the lost people, without accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, you cannot have part of eternity with Christ in heaven. Right? Illumination, where the Holy Spirit enlightens our mind with spiritual understanding so we will know the truth. Evidence of illumination is found in the Bible itself. God spoke to Moses, Joshua, David, and the prophets. And he spoke this, thus saith the Lord. Paul, did I finish that other one? Romans, through human conscience. Did I read that scripture? Okay, back up. Romans 2, 14, 15. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are not doing right. Remember this. And when I said, have we got the Bible? Those who received this revelation did not always understand it. Okay, those who we know today to be the penmen of the scripture did not know they were writing the Bible. They did not know they were writing the Bible. These people did not sit down in the 1600 years and say, you get your part of the Bible written now, the first 50 years, and I'll catch up. No, it wasn't done that way. They had them in letters or had them in individual books. God is the author. And God made it all flow together. Okay, illumination. God spoke to Moses, Joshua, David, and the prophets, thus saith the Lord. Paul insisted that his message came to him through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 1:12. Why did those people believe him? The people who had accepted Christ knew that Paul was telling the truth. They read the spirit of Paul. What Paul was saying, their spirit, through the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Christ in them was saying, yep, he's right. Okay. Galatians 1:12. For I neither received it of man. Paul let him know that several times. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I might have been smart from the standpoint of being a Pharisee of Pharisees, but I can tell you right now that my wisdom of Pharisees didn't have a thing to do with who I am today through the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 15. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad? Many situations you've been in and nobody can read your mind. And aren't you glad that you can't read theirs either? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now catch this. The thoughts of God is the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Everything to God is spiritual, folks. Again, we are in a vehicle called the body, but we're spiritual beings in here. And our spiritual part of us is going to continue. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom. Catch it? You cannot get educated in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your education. You go through and get all the junk done in education, or you'll know which parts to study and all of this. But it is by the Word of God. Can an individual be called to preach and not have any education at all? Yes, absolutely. Throughout my life, I've had a lot of uneducated, and I'm talking about uneducated from the standpoint of, thank you, Randy, of the uneducated from the standpoint of the world. You don't have to have a degree to preach the gospel. All of us call to different areas. Do you really think some of the well-educated preachers are going to make a big hit in the mountains of Kentucky in a three-piece suit? Yeah. Okay. So God set it up. Okay. Human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Do you not see that today? Why are they mocking Christians? Because they don't know Christ, folks. People mock Christians because they don't know Christ. Christians bring it on themselves so often. We will bring on a lot of hurt and pain ourselves simply because we want them to think well of us. So therefore, we'll bend a little bit their way to have them think well of us. We don't do them any favors. We don't do them any favors at all when we do that. What you do, you stand for the truth. The world is looking for the truth, and they're looking for the truth of God. And the truth can only be found in the Word of God. And God says, I will reveal my word to them. So when you and I start revealing the world words to them, they already know that language. They're looking for the new language. The new language is Christianity. And it is, in our generation, one of the strongest foreign languages. Because very few people speak Christian anymore. Very few. For they are foolishness to him, speaking of the world, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Okay, as a Christian with the Spirit of Christ in us, you and I are recording. You know that people want to throw the scripture at you. Now, you know what the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged. Now, there you are, you Christians always breaking your own rules. Judge not lest ye be judged. Does that mean then that you and I are not to judge wrong when it is wrong? If we do not have a judgment within us, that is not at all what the scripture is telling us. The scripture is telling me that as you're judging a situation in a person's life, Larry, you remember your days coming through those same steps. Judge not lest ye be judged. I will find the same judgment upon myself that I show to another human being. I can have mercy and I can have grace, but I have no right to change the word of God to become their buddies and to become popular. I don't have that right. You and I have a standard that's set by God, not by man. So we take the standard of God, which is his Spirit. He says, I'll talk to you. And the last is inspiration. Inspiration means God breathing into the messenger. All scripture is God breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Right? That's exactly what it is. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understandings or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. Have you ever heard of any other book written over 1,600 years by a number that we cannot count? And from every background you can name, and we call it the Holy Bible as a gift from God, and it reads like a novel. Doesn't skip a beat, does it? Only God can do that. And that's proof that it wasn't of man. Man would have messed it up big time. Right? You'd have had, and it, except for my people, my generation, we were the most perfect of all. Now, that's exactly what man would get in there with it. Okay. Inspiration is seen in the fulfillment of prophecy. Here you go. Is it inspired of God? If I come in and I tell you something, and I say, okay, God has told me or led me to tell you this, and this is going to happen at such and such a time. Now, I'm a preacher, a prophet of God. Prophets are foretellers. Prophets are those who forth-tellers, go forth to tell. But what are they telling? They're not telling their own thoughts. They're telling God's word. So how do you know whether the person is of God or not, or is a prophet or not? If that person stands up and says, God has revealed to me that this is going to happen at a certain time. If it happens at that time, he's of God. He don't get any more chances. If he didn't catch that falling star coming around, or that comet, yep. If he didn't get on that, the boys, to get, you know, we still buried their bodies here, didn't we? They didn't take him up. They died here. Y'all remember the group that's catching the comet? Wonder how they had to die to do that. When Jesus comes, you and I as Christians, we'll never die. We just flopped out of this body. Okay. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Did that not take place? Just as the scripture said it was going to take place. And all the smart people, all of them in that day. God has never allowed himself to depend on the smart people or the religious leaders to carry his message, because we get too puffed up. We get, you know, too haughty. I know that God told me to carry the message, but not to people like that. He's a Gentile. Good gracious. Next thing you know, they'll think that Jesus really did die on the cross for us. All right. Matthew 1:22-23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. That was the prophecy up there, Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, what happened? Was simple. Only simple to God. What happened was God set everything into motion, and he said, I want them to get the Bible, and he used man in the process of doing it. We have been a part of God's life ever since our existence. And even before our existence, God knew us in his mind. So you think of that. And God said, I want to use. He chose to use us. That's why we're a part of all of this. He chose to use us to relate to one another. And he said, because I love you and I want Christians, you and I, are the beneficiary of the love of God. The world can't touch us. Inspiration is seen in the unity of the Bible. You ready for it? This is the last. And one central theme, God's redemptive purpose. One central figure, Christ. One central goal, God supreme. Written over a period of 1,600 years in various places by many, many human writers, kings, peasants, poets, herdsmen, fishermen, scientists, farmers, priests, pastors, tent makers, and governors. They did not know that they were writing the Holy Bible, but because each book was written under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they tell one complete story. Neither testament is complete without the other.